The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen, engineering and producing the Buckmaster Show, and together we welcome you to the program in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. It's Wednesday, November 20th, 2019. Do you believe it? Thanksgiving, a week from tomorrow. So we are quickly pushing into the holidays. The Buckmaster Show right here on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. Our contributor on health is Dr. Victoria Mazes, the Andrew Weil Endowed Chair in Integrative Medicine and Executive Director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. Dr. Mazes is internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine. She's committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts that solve America's healthcare system problems. She's the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health. Also, she authored Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about her on her website, victoriamazesmd.com, or follow her on Twitter at vmazes. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
I am doing well. How are you, Bill?
Doing very well. I want to get right into the to this study that just came out. Millions of us will be traveling by air over the holiday season, including myself, a week from today. This study about airline water, which airline's water is safest, confirms a suspicion I've had for a long time. As you know, I love to travel. And I'm very careful about drinking any water that comes from the airline that is not in a sealed bottle.
Well, you have been wise, and I hope that all your listeners now have the same wisdom, which comes from this study that Hunter College, New York City Food Policy Center did, and it just showed abysmal results on the various airline carriers. In fact, like the two that scored best, Alaska Airline and Allegiant, had scores of 3.3. Now, that's on a 0 to 5 scale, where 0 is the worst and 5 is the best. So, you know, none of them did great, and those were the best. And many of them have scores, you know, in the 1-plus range. So they are scoring really, really badly. And what this means is that there is E. coli in the water. Now, we've all heard of E. coli. That's a bacteria that can cause a waterborne illness and that you really want to avoid.
Yeah, and this is not just... Well, let's put it this way. If you're going to do coffee or tea, also be cautious, correct?
Exactly. And so you might think, well, you know, that's hot water, but it's not necessarily fully boiled water that's going to kill those bacteria, or boiled for long enough that will kill those bacteria. So I think the message here is, do not drink water unless it comes from a sealed bottle or you've brought your own water on the plane. Do not wash your hands with the water on the plane thinking that's going to be safe. Bring either the kind of Purell disinfectant liquid or the wipes so that you can clean your hands. And do not drink something like coffee or tea that's made with hot water but not necessarily boiled water. So these are really serious recommendations. Just to put this in context, in the United States, the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, says that there are between 4 and 32 million cases a year of acute GI illnesses from drinking public water. So it's not a small number, and they can vary in the level of seriousness, but this is one way to avoid getting some of this waterborne illness.
And, of course, when you are, when they come down the aisle with the cart, you will see bottled water, and it's opened. And I guess we just have to believe that the airlines are using good faith, Dr. Mazes.
And well,
that,
I kind of like when I see them break the seal, as you know.
Thank
like
you.
They take
thank
a bottle
you.
And you can see that they're breaking the seal. And you know, that certainly makes me feel better.
Yes.
Another thing to be cautious about is ice, because, you know, ice is going to be made from that same water source, potentially. Interestingly enough, it was only in 2011 that the federal government proposed special rules for airplanes. It's called the Aircraft Drinking Water Rule, and it does require that the airplanes check the water and that they flush the systems, they disinfect. But I guess the EPA hasn't been supervising it very well, and there are just lots and lots of examples of where they fail. They have violations of this set of regulations. And I guess not too much happens.
I see a lot of people filling their, you know, they bring their an empty container and then they fill it at a public drinking fountain within an airport. And I wonder about that as well.
Well, that should be better. I mean, one of the challenges on the airplane itself is that, you know, unlike whatever the water source in your location is, you know, Tucson or Pima County water, and that, of course, has many regulations, airplanes fill their water in many, many different places, including internationally, and, you know, the rules may be different. And so they do have a slightly greater challenge in terms of water purification. But so I definitely think it would be better to bring a stainless steel or water bottle. A lot of airports now have filtered water that you can fill your water bottle. I've seen that in many, many airports as I travel. And so, you know, that would be a better situation, too. But, you know, this is kind of scandalous. We want to believe that the water in our country, in the United States, you know, is of high quality. And sadly, it just isn't. And I want to just generalize that to say that, you know, people also should be cautious about water in their homes. So, you know, when I look at my zip code, I found that there are 5 contaminants that exceed health guidelines for my zip code, and there's 512 times the level of arsenic, which can be linked to cancer. There's 32 times the level of chromium, which could also be linked to cancer.
Wow.
There's 13 times the level of nitrates, also a cancer link, 70 times for trihalomethanes, and 4.8, almost 5 times the risk of uranium. So, you know, that means that I better have my own double protection, and that means having a water filter on my home water so that I can add some protection to what the municipal water offers me.
All right, Dr. Victoria Mazes, stick around. We have another segment with you. We'll be talking about diets. But right now, I want to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery, my favorite bakery in town, right now taking orders for your pies and rolls. After all, Thanksgiving's next Thursday. So now call would be a great time to call Steve and the team up at Mona's. Put in your order, 579-1959 for your order. And they're doing pumpkin, apple, blueberry, cherry, pecan pies this year. Mona's Danish Bakery, Northeast Corner, Swan and Sunrise, monasdanishbakery.com. Stop in, put in your order for your dinner rolls and pies. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
take 5 minutes to give us your input on regional transportation matters. The Regional Transportation Authority's 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee prepared draft guiding principles to consider as they prepare to develop the next RTA plan. The survey is available between mid-November and mid-December. To take the survey or to sign up to receive RTA notices, please visit www.rtamobility.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Speaking of green things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, do you believe the thousands and thousands of poinsettias that are now available for you? 25,000? They're grown right at Green Things, so check it out on their 13-acre site. All of your holiday needs there, and stop by Zocalo Village. All that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. Dr. Victoria Mazes, the Buckmaster Show contributor on health, the Andrew Weil Endowed Chair in Integrative Medicine, and the Executive Director of the Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, with us on the live line for her monthly visit. Of course, Thanksgiving coming up. We all pack on a few pounds. I hope that's not the case, Dr. Victoria Mazes, with myself anyway, but probably will be. And then we all start thinking about diets. There's some new information out that most diet trials fail even the most basic of quality control measures. What's that all about?
Yeah, this is an interesting opinion piece in the New York Times that followed a JAMA article that was written by the same author, Dr. David Ludwig, who is a researcher at Harvard, longtime researcher on diet and trying to prevent diabetes in children. He's a pediatrician. And boy, is he frustrated. He is complaining that diet trials are just not designed well because they're too small in general. They're too short. In other words, we study people for a week or several weeks. And often the intervention isn't strong enough. You know, we ask someone to change to, for example, a 20% fat diet, and they only get to a 28% fat diet, and the normal's 32%. So then you go, well, you know, did they actually do, you know, what we think was necessary for them to do? And so he's really frustrated and is making a plea for there be more funding for nutrition research on how we can prevent disease.
Yeah, the study authors and the media can really really help, can't they, by avoiding this tendency, Dr. Mazes, to kind of overstate the results of what clearly turns out to be weak research?
Absolutely. I mean, just maybe a month or two ago, you know, there was this huge set of headlines because a very crummy article was published that said, you know, you can eat all the meat you want. Eating meat makes no difference to your health. And, you know, all the scientists jumped on top of it and, you know, mostly strongly disagreed with that conclusion. But, you know, it made for headlines because headlines are, let's shock you by telling you something you thought was true is now untrue. And so we have a lot of reason that the public is suspicious of anything we say about diet because they keep seeing this pendulum swing. Fat is bad. Fat is good. Meat is bad. Meat is fine. And people get very confused by this nonstop swinging of what we think is correct.
You have recommended, I know you're a big supporter of what is called the Mediterranean diet. I think this would be a good time, Dr. Mazes, as we approach Thanksgiving and the holidays, to briefly tell us about why you like this particular diet.
Yeah, so the Mediterranean diet, let me just remind your listeners what it consists of. You know, it's typically eaten in the Mediterranean region, and it has abundant fish. It has lots of vegetables. It has a little bit of dairy, mostly as cheese and yogurt, not so much as milk. And it also has some red wine. It excludes meat, except in quite small amounts. And it's relatively high in fat because there's lots of olive oil and olives and sometimes avocados. And so it's a very satiating and palatable diet. People find it delicious and easy to enjoy the food. And I do want to say that as much as that pendulum has swung, the evidence for the health benefits of the Mediterranean diet remain really strong. And some of that has to do with the components. So vegetables, fruits, legumes are all seen as healthy foods across many, many, many observational and clinical studies. Olive oil, nuts, avocados have also been shown to provide protection against heart disease and cancer. And so these are parts of the Mediterranean diet, but they're things that we, I think our listeners can be confident that we're not going to come up with a diet that says stop eating vegetables. All the diets know that vegetables are good for us, with the exception of white potatoes, which is a vegetable but very starchy, and that would be the one exception.
Give us a few holiday tips on how to eat well over the holidays and perhaps avoid what the studies seem to indicate that people gain 2 to 5 pounds during this period.
Well, I think the really important piece is to practice what we like to call as mindful eating, which is really take the time to savor each bite and to enjoy what you're eating. I'll give you a personal tip. I know for myself on Thanksgiving, I don't feel the need to overeat because I know I can have leftovers.
Sure.
So, you know, when I get full, I think, well, I can have some of this tomorrow. And it's not like I'm sitting at a table and then it's gone and I've lost my chance. So eat slowly, savor each bite, enjoy your company, and consider the fact that there'll be more later. The other nice thing about Thanksgiving is usually it's a meal that's eaten slowly and over time, and that does give the brain a chance to catch up with the stomach and send some signals that say, hello, I'm full. Because it takes a little time for those signals to get to the brain.
Okay, I had a caller, and we were really quickly out of time, but she wanted to know, is there a list of foods that support mitochondria? Is that the way that's...
Mitochondria, those are the little energy sources of the body. Mm-hmm. Well, in general, mitochondria are supported by foods that are rich in antioxidant vitamins. And those antioxidants come from vegetables and fruits. So, and Thanksgiving tip, eat those vegetables, eat the sides, maybe make the stuffing and the turkey a smaller portion and fill your plate with vegetables.
All right. I'm looking forward to it. We'll talk with you next month. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. My favorite holiday really of the year, Dr. Mazes. Hope it's a good one for you.
Thanks, Bill, and let me express my gratitude to you for all that you bring to the Tucson community.
Thank you so much. Learn more about Dr. Mazes on her website, victoriamazesmd.com. Follow her on Twitter at vmazes.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Ever dream of taking a river cruise? Bon Voyage Travel introduces you to Ama Waterways. You'll explore authentic culture in captivating landscapes in luxury and comfort. All on board an award-winning fleet while you travel through incredible cities and villages in Europe, Southeast Asia, and Africa. Picture yourself on the river, indulging in Ama Waterways' locally inspired cuisine paired with complimentary wine with every lunch and dinner. Contact Bon Voyage Travel today to customize your river cruise vacation.
28 minutes now past the hour on a jam-packed Buckmaster Show. We've got some real heavyweights on this program. Dr. Mazes to start the program. The mayor will be coming up, kind of his goodbye tour exit interview. And right now, our every other month interview with Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, head of Tucson Unified School District. Dr. Trujillo, how are you, sir?
I'm doing very, very well. And while I have this opportunity, it's always a pleasure to run into Mayor Rothschild.
Yeah, Mayor's out here in the green room, sure.
And I really want to take this opportunity to thank him publicly for being such an amazing public servant. I had the opportunity to share some words a few weeks ago as he was being honored at a luncheon. And he has just been such a service-oriented leader that has really taught us and challenged us as a citizenry to think differently about a lot of the issues that plague the city, whether it's dealing with homelessness or how we take care of our veterans or the support that we provide to the newest Americans amongst us, refugees, how we think about infrastructure, and really showing us by example that these are not black and white issues and that we're all better when we come together to solve these issues. We'll miss him. Yeah. He's been a huge champion of public education as a Tucson and also for Tucson Unified personally. So I want to thank him for his two terms of service to the city, and also welcome our very newest mayor-elect, the new mayor-elect, Romero, who is also a TUSD parent.
There you go.
And I had an opportunity to meet her daughter at the wonderful Borton Elementary right there on 22nd. Such a wonderful student for us as well.
You knocked on a lot of doors with the mayor in efforts to get some kids back to school. That was kind of an effort with you, too.
We did a lot of wonderful work together with his office, and that was one of the initiatives that he championed throughout his time in office, is getting kids back to school.
Yeah, I like that. Knock at the door, and here you have the mayor and the head of Tucson Unified asking some of these young people to reconsider, maybe come back to school. I thought that was very cool. You've got a new board member, Bruce Burke. Bruce has been around a while. I mean, he served before on the TUSD board. He was appointed by Dustin Williams, who was our guest here on the program Friday. Dustin thought he was by far head and shoulders above the other 14 candidates. Not that he was downgrading them in any way. He was very pleased that we had 15 people that wanted to step up. But Bruce really had the experience, Dustin felt, to step in and take over for Dr. Mark Stegeman, who resigned. He did that right here on this program. Go ahead, with your thoughts about Bruce Burke.
We are tremendously excited about Mr. Burke joining our governing board. And my very first official interaction with Bruce Burke will tell the voters and the citizens that he serves and the school community that he serves all they need to know about him and his governing style. Our first meeting, we're in executive session, and we're dealing with a very difficult student matter that the parents have shown up. And we're all ready to jump into business, as we always are, okay? And Mr. Burke gets up, and he's literally the only person, and walks towards the door to personally greet the parents.
You're kidding.
And he says, I really believe in greeting parents. Mm. Do we not greet parents? And it just sent a very powerful message about what he's about, not only as somebody that governs, but how he is as a father and as a person, and recognizing as a father the difficult task that lay before that parent, and actually giving his hand out. And that, to me, spoke volumes of the leader that we're about to work with. So we're excited.
Let's talk about calendar year 2019. We'll be getting ready to close the books on it. What were the positives?
This has been probably one of the best years that I have been here with Tucson Unified. First of all, the enrollment, just a historic turnaround from where we've been. It's not done by any means. But you're talking about the last 4 years where we've lost over 1,000 students. And as we sit now, we're only down 300. That is wonderful news for a district that's trying to rebound and come back. We have to get to growing. So it's good to slow the enrollment growth or the enrollment loss, but the next step is growth. But that was huge for us. It's another year of great academic achievement for the district. We had 18 more schools increase their letter grades. We were able to, for the second straight year, maintain all of TUSD's high schools. Half of them are A or B rated. All of them are A or B or C rated. We only have one remaining F school in the whole district. Those are great achievements. Administrative spending is down to 9%. Classroom spending, where our community likes to see the bulk of the district's money, hovering around 52%. Wonderful, wonderful year. It's not without its challenges. We still have to deal with math achievement, Bill.
That's a tough one.
It's a tough one.
I did not excel in math. That was my weak point. And I'm not alone. It's a struggle for lots of kids.
It is. And there's a lot to celebrate around literacy and English language arts, and dropout rates going down and graduation rates going up. We have not cracked the math bubble. And it's primarily hitting us harder at grade 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. Another reason to talk about middle school reform. I've been on the program before talking about middle school reform. And here is another big reason to continue those discussions and move more towards a different way that we do middle school math.
Middle school reform would encompass what?
We've talked before about the possibility of moving the district to an elementary school model that would be kindergarten through sixth grade. and trying to go into the big middle schools and make them 7-8 specific,
right?
And really trying to offer smaller class sizes,
mm-hmm.
and having more specialized instruction in math, mm-hmm. and in reading and writing, and being able to offer more electives. Our internal surveys that we've given to parents and community members have not come back very positively. So the system and the community has said that they want to keep the same, by and large, structure of standalone 6th, 7th, and 8th grade middle schools, but they do support the district reforming inside of the current structure.
Other issues that are of concern in 2019, did we make improvements in security?
I think security is always, we took some huge steps forward in 2019 by approving the installation of keyless entry systems at all of our elementaries. Our board took action a few weeks ago to further those efforts at our high schools by installing, we picked our operations team. We selected 20 of the most frequently occurring areas of vandalism around the district. And at those 20 schools, we're now going to get digital cameras,
mm-hmm.
Digital surveillance systems that will offer 24-hour security that hopefully will be a deterrent. The devastating vandalism that occurred at Monzo, I think, was a wake-up for us because
right.
that is our flagship school,
mm-hmm.
for school community gardens and mm-hmm. biodiversity, mm-hmm. and the eco-education and food literacy initiatives that go on there. The destruction of their habitat, of the tilapia tanks, I think for us was a
just
wake-up
call. Vandalized that.
Just vandalized. No rhyme or reason.
No rhyme or reason.
No,
for that.
No. That was, to me, sort of an urgency around getting cameras going in schools like Monzo.
Safety officers are carrying lasers or tasers.
We did get the approval for tasers.
Yeah,
for...
These will not be used on students.
No. Absolutely not. These are not school-level security personnel. These are your security officers that roam the district at night, patrolling our properties. We run into a lot of vagrants, and they actually do catch a lot of vandalism and burglaries going on in progress. This gives them an intermediate measure before using a firearm.
Teachers, how did we do this year with teachers?
We did very, very well. The teacher vacancies are at an all-time low. We have 45 only right now. We were able to open up the school year with around 70 vacancies, which has been a historic low for us. What we're looking at now is we're gauging the effectiveness of our international teacher initiative. We certainly want to talk to students and see what their experience was with the teachers. We'll be meeting with the international teachers to see what their experience has been, to assess the overall quality of that. Because it's not just using the international teachers to bring the vacancies down. We want to make sure that we're offering high quality instruction also and supporting those teachers as well.
And their pay raise?
Teachers got another year of a pay raise, largely under the governor's 20 by 20 initiative and those monies that we did receive.
The initiative expires in 2020 then, right?
It does.
The three-year program.
Yeah.
Then we're going to have to rely on the legislature to revisit this.
But, you know, the governing board has done a really good job of, when you look at 14, 15, 15, 16, 16, 17, 17, 18, if you look at those four or five school years, we're already almost at 20%. In terms of what the teacher's overall salary was at the beginning of the 14-15 school year.
Let's talk a little bit about one of the big challenges, and it's been a challenge for many, many years, the TUSD DSEG order. We're about out of time. Give us a bottom line, where we are with it, and where's the finish line?
Bottom line, by Christmas, we will have submitted every single piece of documentation to the court for its formal ruling on releasing the district definitively and finally from court supervision. That's going to be exciting. The district has already achieved half release from supervision. This is for the rest of it. And we will be in a position, December will be the official turn everything in, official filing date. We will be expecting a ruling optimistically by the July 4th weekend.
Very good. Okay. So you're optimistic for this 2020 year.
I'm very optimistic for 2020. Strategic planning process will be going on during the spring. We're looking forward to bringing community members together to develop and help us develop a long-term plan for the district's success in a development of our values and collective commitments.
And Dr. Trujillo, we'll look forward to your visit in January. I want to wish you and yours a wonderful holiday season with Thanksgiving coming up in a week or so. And then, of course, Christmas will be here before you know it. We'll see you in 2020.
Thank you. And as a Buckmaster fan, all you listeners out there, if you're not using the podcast, I understand it's always sometimes hard to get the show live.
Yes.
I got to tell you, Bill, the podcast is amazing. I listen to the shows I miss when I'm cooking dinner, if I'm getting ready
Perfect.
In the morning. So if you haven't heard the podcast, check it out.
2020 is going to be a great year. And a big thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt, Dr. Trujillo. Make sure those podcasts, usually within a couple of hours of the conclusion of the program, they're there at buckmastershow.com. Thank you, sir. Have a great holiday.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Our exit interview with Mayor Rothschild is coming up right after we take the break.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
A Citizens Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is preparing to develop the next RTA plan. That's why members want your input on a survey of draft guiding principles they prepared. The principles will help guide them as they develop the next 20-year plan, which would be funded by a voter-required extension of the RTA's half-cent excise or sales tax. To take the survey or sign up to receive RTA notices, please visit www.rtamobility.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. This portion of the program presented by our friends over in Silver City. Only a 3-hour drive from Tucson. So much to do over in Silver City. It's a beautiful area. 3-hour drive and you're over there. SouthwestNewMexico.org is the website for all the information about the many activities, all the planning you can do, the hiking and the Gila. Oh my goodness, just such a beautiful area. Great places to stay, all at southwestnewmexico.org for Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. And here he is, the mayor of Tucson, Jonathan Rothschild. The mayor is on his goodbye tour.
Farewell tour.
the only thing that's missing are those T-shirts. You know, when you go to these rock shows, they they show the where the mayor has been. He's been all over the place, and now he's visiting the Buckmaster show. But we'll see you around, right, Mayor? I mean, you're gonna. It's not like you're moving.
I'm not leaving town. I'm gonna go back to my law practice, and we'll see how that goes. I'm looking forward to it. I have a group of lawyers that I practiced with in the past, but also a group of new young lawyers I'm really looking forward to working with, particularly because two of them are my sons. And then I don't know how much they're looking forward to me, but and then I'm pretty excited about it. I'm going to be teaching at the law school, and I'm going to be teaching state and local law, which is something that I probably know a little bit about at this point. And also creating a program which is in the creation stage, an interdisciplinary program, and they're calling it the Participatory Democracy Initiative, but it will involve the School of Journalism, will be very much involved, School of Social Science and Government, perhaps some professors from the Health Sciences Department, and really trying to create a discipline where folks who show an interest in leadership can learn some of the values and some of the skills that will hopefully make us a better society going
forward.
Kind
of a future leader group.
It is going to be like that. Right now, of course, the concentration is kind of on, because of the world we live in, is kind of on, civil engagement. How do people get together who don't have the same opinion but still can have a conversation and maybe reach a better common solution? I think our current political environment has driven a lot of people to start thinking about that.
Yeah. Now, what advice do you have for Mayor-elect Rahina Romero? You've known, obviously, Rahina for a long time.
Yeah, I've known her for... probably close to a decade and a half. I knew her before I was mayor. She's going to come in with a lot of experience. And so that, I think, is a good thing. The job of a council member is different from the job of mayor. And so I'm going to spend some time with her just kind of going over what those differences are. But I think, and as part of being mayor, my advice to her is to be receptive to those who may not have always been receptive to you.
Right.
My dad told me when I became mayor, and I was partisan, and, I'd just been in an election, a hard-fought election. He said, now you're the mayor of all the people.
All the people.
And I think that's important because... you may not agree, just what we were saying, you may not agree with someone on a lot of issues, but if you listen to them, there may be something you may very much want to partner with them on. Mm-hmm. And the other advice is because I think Rahina's going to come in with an ambitious agenda, mm-hmm. and which is great, but my advice to her is to reach out to the business community and the nonprofit community and put those partnerships together, because the city's resources are constrained, and they're devoted to specific tasks: police, fire, roads, parks, and the like, transit. And we don't print money.
Right.
And so if you want to do...
Don't forget core services.
Yeah. Well, that's because that's what the charter says.
Yeah.
But if you want to do more, and every mayor does everywhere, you can do more, but you're going to need to make partnerships in the community. And I hope Rahina does a good job of that. She's capable.
What do you think your legacy is?
Well, when I came to office, I said I was making one promise, and that was that I would work hard every day. And I think I've done that, and so I'm happy for that to be my
legacy.
You've
been very transparent. You're all over the place. I mean, weekends, folks see you all over. I mean, you're out there.
Yeah, and I call that the working hard part of it.
Yeah.
I think sometimes it's not all through your efforts, it's through many efforts, but I would hope to be remembered that, you know, when I came to office in 2011, the community was slow coming out of the recession, if we'd come out at all. And over the last 8 years, we've seen a lot of changes. And I know people would like to see more, but the building that we see going on, the transformation of downtown, is one. The social service programs that we've been able to put together with partnerships with the community would be two. And I think the one that I'm really most proud of is the passage of the three bond issues, because when we went out on the first road bond issue, you know, people, we passed it by that landslide of, I think, 900 votes. Yeah. And people knew we needed our roads paved, but they didn't trust the city. And once we got the opportunity and showed that we could do a good job, the second time we went out for roads and police and fire for a much larger number, we got 66%. That's a big move in a political needle. And then ultimately pass the parks bond, which really does go to quality of life. And we're going to have lighted sports fields at night. We're going to have bicycle and pedestrian paths that are off-road that connect the city. And if people can remember that I was a part of that, I'd be pretty happy.
And the zoo is moving forward. I mean, that was another vote of confidence that people had for our zoo.
And the zoo did great. And and that was an interesting, because that was not really the city, even though the zoo is part of the city, but it was the nonprofit foundation board that really pushed that. And I think some of us at the city were hesitant, because anytime you take any available money, you know, shouldn't we be able to use it over here? But they did a really good job of bringing all sorts of people together from around the community. Again, and that's the secret to doing these things, coming up with a good plan that was explicit and that laid out exactly how they're going to do it. And, you know, our zoo, it's not the biggest zoo, but it's really a pleasant experience.
I've been around now over 30 years, and when I think about your tenure, I think also about the changes with your cabinet. This isn't talked about a lot, but let's look at all the change that has come. The police chief.
Yep.
We just hired a new fire chief who comes from the Virginia area and is highly regarded.
Yep.
A new dynamo parks guy who really got behind that effort for the passage of the parks. Yeah. A new roads person.
Yeah, Diana Alarcon is very sharp, very cutting edge, and involved in the community. Yeah.
City manager. How big is that stability in that position? Before your tenure, it seemed like we had city managers' musical chairs.
Yeah, and quite frankly, the mayor and council do a lot of things, obviously, and sort of are symbols for the community. But, you know, the zoning is a big part of it. The real job is getting the right city manager. And when I came on, Dick Miranda was the interim manager, and he was a good manager, and he was the manager we needed at the time, given what the circumstances were. He tired of it, really, I think. We were in a tough position because we were still in that place where we hadn't had a manager for more than 2 years for a very long time. I would say we were lucky. Mm-hmm. And Mike Ortega loves the job. He loves working for the city. He is now, I think, the third longest tenured manager, and he'll soon be the second longest. Mm-hmm. And the only guy with more time in is Joel Valdez.
Right.
And instability in that position is important. And having a council that understands that, you know what, I may not always agree with the manager's position, but it's more important to have stability because I'll agree with them the next five times. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Mike works real hard talking to all the council people every week, keeping them informed, answering their questions, trying to steer them to a constructive solution. So, you know, Mike is, he's part of the real answer.
So there've been a lot of changes. Look at all the changes with that cabinet.
Yeah. I've been there 8 years, so
right.
That's, I guess, a long time.
Mm-hmm.
In that time, most of those positions have changed out.
Right.
And we had good people before, but for instance, you know, Chief Isenor was a very good police chief. Chief Magnus is superior, mm-hmm. and he brings sometimes what these new positions do is they bring a fresh look,
sure.
and a new energy, mm-hmm. and that's been positive for the city as a whole.
He will be with us Friday. We'll have the chief on the program, and then we'll look forward after he settles in with the fire chief, because a lot of the publicity always seems to go to the police, but fire is so important.
In our city, it's very important.
With the responses and the number of people who call paramedics.
Oh, and they'll tell you the exact numbers, but it's in the tens of thousands always. Yeah, in our city, you know, a lot of places fire is, you know, privatized or contracted out. In the city of Tucson, given our demographic, that would be a very difficult thing to do and still be able to provide the kind of service we do. Our fire department, people don't realize often, is they have a rating system. It's called the ISO system. We're the only ranked number one ISO fire department in the state. I mean,
I did not know that. I didn't. Well, I knew they ranked them. I didn't know where we were.
Well, and the other thing that's kind of good and is that supposedly, when you have that ranking, your homeowner's insurance gets a small reduction because the insurance companies realize, you know, these guys are going to get there. If it's a medical emergency, they know how to deal with you. If it's a fire, they know how to deal with it. So, yeah, we're very proud of our fire department.
All right. Looking ahead, the big challenge for this reconstituted council will be what?
It doesn't change. It's trying.
Economics.
Yep. It's trying to take the money that you've got, which is never enough, and trying to allocate it appropriately so that you can give the best services that you can, you know, and some of that is macro. You know, I've been lucky enough to have a good 8-year run for our economy. If the economy were to turn again, we're trying to build the resilience of the city. In fact, we were looking at some preliminary numbers yesterday, and we've got a budget surplus greater than it's been in anybody's memory, but it's still not what
right,
it should be.
Right, right.
And
can go so fast if the economy tanks.
It could go in a matter of a few months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the road, where are we in? Refresh my memory of where we are in the program.
So we finished the first 5 years.
First
and
five.
And we're in the first year, I believe, yes, of the second five.
Uh-huh.
So we've got five more years of scheduled road repair, this time much more in...
More in the neighborhoods.
That being said, it's not enough. I think we need to go back and talk to the county about what their plans are, although the county doesn't have enough either. And I think anyone who's close to this will tell you, until we get an evergreen fund for roads, we're always going to have this problem because roads now last 20 years. That's what they're built for.
Yeah.
Well, once you do all the roads, it's time to start again.
Yeah, it is. This RTA thought, the survey that's going on now is so important, figuring
yep.
out what people want as that will expire in 2026. Mayor, I hope you'll come back and visit us. You're going to be teaching once a week, is it? Or
Twice a week.
Very
I have
cool.
an hour and a half Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Well, we'll have you back and we'll discuss how it's going for you.
All you have to do is invite me and
I will.
Maybe let me know a few of the questions in advance
right.
so I can be somewhat informed.
Okay.
But I want to just say real quick, I know we're out of time. You remain to me And we've got good reporters in this town all over the place, but you still are right at the top level for being the kind of reporter who just asks the question to get the information out without an angle. And
old school.
Is that what they call it?
Yeah, they call it old school. Yeah, but I do appreciate the kind words. Thank you.
All right.
Mayor, good luck to you.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
That'll do it for Buckmaster. On behalf of the mayor, have a great afternoon. Yeah.